Well, welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us on this very wet day. Happy Memorial Day, happy Memorial Day weekend, and as well, today is Trinity Sunday, which is, if you're not familiar, the Sunday once a year where we observe and reflect upon our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I invite you to stand as we sing our opening song. Sorry, I'm way ahead of myself. That's what happens. Anyway, so let's try this again. Sorry, band. Let's try this again. So we begin as we always do, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I turn it over to Pastor Bob.
I'm just glad I'm not the only one. All right. Let's pray, my friends. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful morning, Lord. And the, even though it's raining, Lord, we know that the rain brings new life just like you do every single day. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us. Help us, Lord, as we come into your presence, as we worship you, Lord. Lord, we've come to your house, Lord, but we need you to come to us, Lord. Bring us the faith, Lord, that we need. Strengthen our faith. Help us, Lord, to know you better. Help us to understand the words that we're going to speak today. Help us to know you better so that we can worship you, Lord, as the God that you are. Thank you for your incredible great love. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing, my friends. Oh, confession. I'm going by memory. Can you tell? All right, here we go. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have left, undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let's sing.
Good morning. My name is Josh Landgraf. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's. First scripture reading comes from John 3, 31 through 36. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. This is the word of the Lord.
The sermon text for today is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, and you do not understand these things. "Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the reading for today. It is now time for the children's message. So everybody, if you guys, oh, the kids, I guess not everybody, but if the kids would come forward at this time.
I think I'd be intimidated if everybody suddenly came forward. So thank you for not doing that.
Hi.
All right. All right, well, I have a question for you all. Raise your hand if you have an answer. I haven't even asked the question yet, come on. Who is your God? Yeah.
Jesus.
Jesus? You gonna say the same thing? Yeah, who's your God?
Jesus.
Jesus? Anything other than Jesus? That's a good answer, don't get me wrong. Excellent. Well, today is Trinity Sunday. Raise your hand if you've ever heard the word Trinity before, or if this is a new one for you. What does Trinity mean? Anybody know? What does Trinity mean? We should have practiced this ahead of time.
God is powerful.
God is powerful. That's not what Trinity means, but it's a good guess. All right, so we worship one God, and yet we believe that God is three persons. Do you know what three persons? Yeah. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's three in one. Is that kind of confusing? Yeah. That is one aspect of God that we just don't understand. And that's okay. That's a wonderful thing. Because God is so amazing that we can't fully comprehend him or understand him. And that's not a bad thing. So talking about the three persons of the Trinity, let's look at Father first. We often say the creed in church. That's the part we say, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty." And then what do we say after that? Does anybody remember? What? Maker of heaven and earth. So what do we celebrate that God the Father is maker? What are things that he has made? Earth, yeah. What?
Everything.
Everything is the short answer to everything, yes. Us, yep, yeah. Heaven, yeah.
Jesus?
No, he didn't make Jesus. That's a very important point. Remember that one.
I know. Toilet?
Yes. Well, yes. Anyway, you got something else? Life, yeah. So everything that we have, every physical thing, our clothing, our shoes, our house, our home, our land, all those things, God has ultimately made. And as well, he's given us life. He's given us our parents. And if we have siblings, our siblings. He's given us our friends. All those things are from God. And what about Jesus? What do we celebrate that Jesus has done for us? Yeah.
He died on the cross.
Yes, he died on the cross as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So we are reconciled to God. Our sins have been paid for. And they're not going to be counted against us. What about the Holy Spirit? It's talked about a little bit last week with Pentecost. Not that you have to remember what we said last week, but just what do we celebrate about the Holy Spirit? All right, we need to talk about this way more often. That's what I'm getting from this. So the Holy Spirit is the one who creates faith in us. So you know about God the Father, you know about God the Son, what they've done for you because of the work of the Holy Spirit. You believe in the triune God because of the work of the Holy Spirit. As well, you know how sometimes it's difficult to follow what God wants us to do? He's got that list, you know, the Ten Commandments that he's kind of said, do these things. Is that easy to do 100% of the time?
No.
No. But you know what? We can follow it some of the time because the Holy Spirit's at work within us and helps us to know those things and to do those things. You guys tracking?
Amazing.
That is amazing. All right. So please repeat after me. Dear God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for saving me. And thank you for giving me faith and new birth. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I see the cross there. So if you're going to the worship, you can follow the cross. Otherwise, go back to your seats. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is your God? I imagine that if I asked all of you to answer that question on a piece of paper and pass it in to me, somewhere between a majority of you and the entirety of you might answer with essentially the same answer. Sure, some of you might say God, or the true God, the God of the Bible, our Heavenly Father, Jesus, the triune God. It is Trinity Sunday, after all. Some might point back to how God revealed himself in the Old Testament as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Yahweh. Who is your God? Perhaps the more challenging question to answer is why? Why do you call your God your God? Or to ask a similar question, what is one quality for an entity that deserves the title of God? When I've asked that question as a part of a past Bible study, I receive many responses with characteristics that we attribute to God. Well, God must be all-powerful. A God must be all-knowing. A God must be loving. And those are not bad responses. But for your consideration, I encourage us to look at what is becoming in today's society a scandalous claim. A claim that we profess often. An entity to be worthy of the title of God is to be the creator. The Apostles' Creed begins, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker, creator of heaven and earth. And this is an incredibly bold statement. It might seem a bit underwhelming to us because we say it in church often. It's the shortest of the parts of the Apostles' Creed. And if you grew up attending a church that says the creed each week, you learned it before you could even read. But with these words, we profess that we believe in a God who created all that we know to exist. Nothing in our physical world, our fingers or our toes, our clothing, computers, a cheeseburger with pickles, lettuce, onion, that special sauce. Anything that is natural like trees or man-made like paper, none of it would exist apart from the one who created all things. To profess these words is to profess two categories of being, creator and creature. As it says in the book of Job, it is God who laid the earth's foundation, God who said to the sea, "This far you shall come and no further." But this bold profession also makes another claim that is quite unique. For we have been invited to call this God, who is the creator, Father. And as a good father, this God takes care of your very being. As Luther says it, he richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness within me. How different of a story our scriptures would be if the narrative was God created, he made it good, he sustains it, and it remained that way throughout eternity. But the creatures whom God created failed. God had provided for all their needs and gave a relatively simple instruction. You who are parents, think of the numerous commands that you've given to your children in an effort to help them to live. You who are or have been children, think about the many commands that you've received from your caregivers and how difficult it is at times to follow all of them. God had given Adam and Eve one command. You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But even this one command was broken by the creatures. And in failing to follow this command, the relationship between creator and creatures was severed. And the original goodness that the creatures had was lost. And now man is driven not toward the goodness of God or the well-being of others, but rather, man is driven only toward the well-being of self. If you were to ask a person with respect to their own sinfulness, who is their God? The honest answer would be for that person to say, me. What is worse is that not only is a person driven toward themselves, but that person has a limited perspective on judgment and a judgment that is clouded by sin. That person does not know what is actually helpful for themselves. Eve saw that the fruit was pleasing to the eye, and she took it and ate it. We see that gossip is pleasing to the eye. We perceive that people will perhaps listen to us, what little that we know, and perhaps respect us for that knowledge. And so we turn toward ourselves and hurt the reputation of someone else for our own personal gain, never realizing the personal damage that we do to ourselves by that action. And if not gossip or in addition to it, there are many more actions that seem pleasing to the eye, seem like it would promote self-gain, even though it is at the expense of another. Paul has many lists of such actions: discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, arrogance, murder, strife, deceit, malice, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Everything on that list is an action that is done because it was pleasing to the eye. It was perceived that by doing that action, the person doing said action would have become better for having done it. But the reality is that by engaging in these actions that we call sinful, it is guaranteed to have the effect of straining relationships rather than building them up. A sinful action is such, it will always strain your relationship with the Creator. And more often than not, it will also strain your relationships with other creatures. Because of our sinful condition, because of mankind's inability to not have our drive bent in on ourselves to the detriment of others, all humanity deserves death. We deserved eternal separation from the Creator. But as we heard in the gospel lesson for today, this was not the will of the Creator. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In the creed, we also confess to believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Jesus is co-equal with the Father. Jesus is not a creature, but is also part of the upper category of creator. But Jesus is unique in that he took upon himself creatureliness on our behalf. Luther says that Jesus has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death. You see, if it were not for Jesus, we would not, we could not have a relationship with the Creator. We were a slave to sin in need of redemption, and Jesus is our Redeemer. Now imagine for a moment you have zero excess funds. You're living paycheck to paycheck, barely scraping by in life is difficult. For some of you, that might be recalling a time from your past or a different part of your life. And for others, that might not be too different from your current reality. But imagine the situation all the same. Then a wealthy relative dies and leaves you an inheritance of everything that the relative had. Well, this would mean a new reality for you. You would no longer be struggling with your former reality. But this new reality doesn't take place until you receive the good news of from your relative's lawyer of your new reality. In the same way, Christ has paid the ransom for you, so that you no longer are a slave to your sin. You have been redeemed. But until the Holy Spirit works through the means of grace, a person is still in the old reality. As Luther puts it concerning the Holy Spirit, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. We see this truth also described in the reading from today. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, comes to Jesus at night. Nicodemus says, Rabbi, we know that you are from God. Jesus, knowing what Nicodemus is truly after, says to him, truly no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again, or in Greek, the word anothen. Can you guys say that with me? I love getting congregations to speak either Hebrew or Greek. It's just fun. So here we go. One, two, three. Anothen. One more time. One, two, three. Anothen. There you go. So this Greek word has two different meanings in which the context is the key. Here it is often translated again and is repeated in verse 7. But later on in John chapter 3, which was the other reading for today, this word is used in a way in which again cannot work in the context. In verse 31, John the Baptist says to his disciples, using the word anothen, the one who comes from above is above all. Here anothen means from above. So when Jesus first says to Nicodemus, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born from above, Nicodemus takes it to mean born again, because he says, well, how can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And so Jesus further clarifies what he means when he says, you must be born from above. No one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are born of water and the Spirit. That is, unless the Holy Spirit is at work through the means of grace, such as baptism, giving you a new birth, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we see all the further that in order for us to have a relationship with the Father, we needed the Son. But in order for us to know the Son, we needed the work of the Holy Spirit. And this Spirit not only informs us of the new reality that we are a part of, but also helps us to be able to live as a child within the kingdom of heaven. And that is why the Holy Spirit is called the sanctifier. The Spirit makes us holy. The Spirit helps us to turn our focus away from ourselves and toward the life that the Creator designed it to be. The Spirit helps us to be mindful of the needs of others. The Spirit helps us to see those works of the flesh that look pleasing to the eye for the death that they really are. So this Trinity Sunday, rejoice that you have a Creator who, because of the personal work of Jesus, you can come to and approach as your good Father. Rejoice that this is known through the work of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that continues to be at work within you so that you can be a part of the kingdom of heaven, to rule and reign, the kingdom of heaven, the rule and reign of the Creator, and live in accordance with His will. Amen.
Doubt and fear.
And now we come to the time of our service where we will confess our faith. Now, it's a little bit different today. Normally, we use the Apostles' Creed or the meaning of the Apostles' Creed from the Catechism. But today, we're going to be using the Athanasian Creed. Now, you're going to wonder why on earth we are using this very long and repetitive creed. And there's really good reason for it. When I went to seminary, our basic doctrine books was a four-volume set, about that much on the bookshelf. That's the basics. Now, the thing is why on earth do you need to have that much writing when you are teaching basic theology? And the answer is because a lot of people have gotten stuff wrong. And every time somebody goes the wrong direction with a description of God, a description of us, a description of God's relationship with us, a description of God's intent and attitude toward us, a whole bunch of different things, we have to, as teachers of the church, respond to it, which causes us to have to write sometimes a lot. All right? And so that's why all of this stuff happens. So there was a lot of different false teachings about the Trinity. And knowing who God is and what he is about is really kind of important if we're going to worship him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and so right before this was written, there was an Arian controversy, which people thought that Jesus was actually created by the Father before the world was created, and that he was somehow subordinate to the Father. Which isn't correct. That's not understanding Jesus for who he truly is. And so they had to fix that. And there was a whole bunch of other problems. And so we're going to read the Athanasian Creed this morning. And to keep it a little bit more interesting, we're going to do it responsibly. Okay? Because otherwise this thing gets really, really long. So let us stand. And let us confess the Christian faith together. And oh, one other thing I got to mention. The word Catholic appears in this several times. What does the word Catholic mean? Thank you very much. It means universal. The Catholic Church denomination kind of took the word and called themselves universal, which that's a move. You know, it's a power move. But the thing is that we're going to use it with the original intent. It's not the name of a denomination, but it is saying the universal Christian faith. All right? Very good. Let us begin. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. And the Catholic faith is this. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Spirit almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to accept or to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also we are prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made nor created nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and the unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of humanity into God. For as the rational soul and the flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ. Ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. My friends, let us pray today. And as we pray, we want to remember all those who gave their lives in service of our country, as we are also celebrating Memorial Day in addition to Trinity Sunday. And we also want to be praying for Janet Beasley as she is recovering from surgery currently. We also know that this is a low attendance Sunday anyway because a lot of people are camping and traveling and everything over this Memorial Day weekend. But in addition to that, there was a rather severe traffic accident on Highway 44 this morning. So in keeping with my mom's thing of that when you hear about an accident or see an ambulance, you ought to pray for them. We'll pray for them today too. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so very much that you have revealed yourself to us, Lord, because if you didn't reveal yourself to us, we could not know you. We wouldn't know, Lord, that you are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one God, Lord. We don't understand it, but we thank you, Lord, that you have introduced yourself to us and told us about yourself, Lord, so that we can know you. And know that your incredible love toward us, Lord, drove you to redeem us so that we can be saved. That the Father came up with the plan, the Son executed the plan of salvation, Lord, and that the Holy Spirit brings us faith so that the salvation that Jesus earned for us can be received by us. Lord, we thank you that you are such an incredible God. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to help us to understand you better every day, Lord, to know you better, to trust in you more, to depend on you more, Lord, so that we can live at peace in a very uncertain world. Lord, we want to pray for Janet. We want to pray for, Lord, all these people that have given their lives in service of our country, Lord, securing the freedoms that we so often take for granted. Lord, I pray that you would continue to We just want to continue, Lord, to be able to appreciate those people and to pray for their families, Lord, that they would continue to be able to draw closer to you, Lord, and that they would have the comfort, Lord, that comes with knowing that people have died in the faith. Lord, I pray that you would also continue to be with Janet Beasley, Lord, as she recovers from surgery. Lord, give her strength and help her, Lord, to get out of the hospital soon and be able to return to her life. Lord, we pray for those who on Highway 44 this morning, Lord, the people involved in the accident, the people who were delayed, the people, who, Lord, I just pray that you would continue to be with all of those people, Lord, and that you would bring them peace and that you would continue to and to help, Lord, anybody who is injured. Lord, I also pray that you would be with all those who are traveling over this holiday weekend, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would protect them as they travel and that they would be able to return to their homes safely, Lord, return to us, this community. Thank you for loving us all very much. And we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do as often as you drink of it, or often in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Mercy is mine.
My friends, receive our Lord's blessing today, first of communion, that we have received this incredible body and blood of our Lord, this incredible meal that God has given us, sharing himself with us and with the promise that with this comes forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And so as we have received this gift from God, depart in his peace. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song again together, giving glory to our God. One announcement I have for today, and that is that because it is Memorial Day weekend, we are not having any Sunday school or Bible study after the church today. And the other thing is that I'm going to invite Jill Tendler forward. This is Memorial Day, where we remember those who died giving us freedom, but that does bring immediately to mind those who are currently serving us. And Jill is our fearless leader in Operation Barnabas, and so I'll let her take it from there.
Not so fearless. Counting on God to get us through all of that. Thank you for giving me a moment this morning. God is so good to us. We live in the best country in the world, and a free country. And of course, most of it is due not only to God, but for those who made the ultimate sacrifice with their lives for our freedom. But we have lots and lots of service members who gave just a step down from that ultimate sacrifice, who came home broken in body, mind, and spirit. And so today I'm going to talk to you for just a second about those veterans. God put in my path in the past month three old guys. Shouldn't have said that because I went to high school with them. But one of them is a Vietnam vet, excuse me. And when I caught up with him, he was telling me about the committee that he formed at the Eureka Elks Club, a veterans committee. It has two parts. One of them is called their Welcome Home Committee, and they have hooked up with a nonprofit who provides tiny homes, you may have heard of this, or apartments for homeless veterans. And so they come to these places and it is bare, absolutely naked of anything. And so these fellows have put together a list called their Welcome Home Kit, including a bed. Well, I printed out the list so you can see it, and it's at our table out by the windows. Please take a second and look at what they're doing for these vets. 100%, every penny goes to them. They donate their time, they donate their vehicles and their gas. I was just blown away. The second part of their committee, I so want to call it a ministry, because they have a food pantry dedicated just to the vets. And so these two brothers raise funds, collect the money, go shopping, and provide 2 weeks' worth of non-perishables for hundreds of vets. And so what I have done is set up a table in the back with gift bags, one marked food, one marked home, and if you all are moved to contribute to that, I kind of hooked up with them to see if there's some way we can help them along in that. There are other ways that we can help. I think I better put that in the bulletin or we'll be here all afternoon. But thank you for listening to me. Thank you for remembering our veterans and for your generous support of Operation Barnabas. It means so much. Thanks.
Thank you, Jill. And so, folks, it is a beautiful day. I think it actually will be. I think it will. Although my patio project that I was working on has now officially turned into a mud puddle. So I won't be getting anything done. So maybe I'll actually get to sit down. I don't know. We'll see. Folks, it is a beautiful day. I encourage you to spend it with your family and friends, but just continue to remember those who gave their lives in the service of our country today, as that is what the day is all about. Okay? Cupcakes and cookies in the back from Operation Barnabas. So stick around, be fellowshipy this morning. All right. God's blessings. I'll see you in the back, folks.